this rephrasing is done by me, that the media of the Islamic Ummah should be very powerful, that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam can find this actually opportunity to come. So yeah. what does this media mean? All the world should be actually expecting Mahdi to come.
Yeah.
All the world should know who Mahdi is.
Right.
All the world should know even his ancestors and Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
And their own rules.
And Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slowly and gradually actually introduces who Hussein is through Arba'een and Arba'een walk. Yeah. You see? So Imam Hussein is being introduced to the world, and the necessity of the advent of Mahdi should be sensed by people, that people have no any other choice.
Right.
So how could it happen without any government? Could it happen, for example, through, I mean, work of some few people here and there without any system? So, it requires
Islamic
a system, a comprehensive government, an Islamic government needs to work on it to make this necessity be felt and to be tangible for all the people all around the world.
Even if we don't have all that, then even when if Imam arrives, people will be like... They will be shocked, like, what is this and what kind of laws are
so these? Imam should be introduced earlier to that. Yeah. I mean, the necessity of introducing Imam and his media, I can call it. I can actually change it into this word.
Media.
The media of Imam should be strong enough. I mean, Imam himself, whatever he's going to do, whatever his mission is, whoever is belonging to, his ancestors.
Right.
Imam Hussein alayhi salam should be known by the people. Because he introduces Imam Hussein alayhi salam as his, and he says, I'm son of Hussein, who has been killed. Right. Mercilessly, if he wants to introduce himself through Imam Hussein, Imam Hussein should be known by people before that time, right?
True. Thank you so much, Doctor, for being with us, and thank you so much for all those valuable insights about Mahdawiyah. Thank you, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining? Tales full of sadness and woe, but I believe you smile again. You see, I know the pain you're feeling, 'cause I was there just like you. Where it's leading. Hold on.
There's nothing standing in your way. You can be strong.
So show the world what you can do and just
walk on.
Don't ever doubt the inner voice in you.
Life's long.
Help me to see.
Like you're the outcast. Sometimes it's better to be alone than to be with the bad crowd. preserve your mind and feed it. Nourish what it is you have inside. Use it in the right way.
Good night to all of you, dear listeners of Iran Radio. You are tuned in Iran Radio broadcasting from Tehran. Glad you could join us. I'm your host for the next hour. Here are some interesting facts about Islam. Let's listen. Islam is the world's second largest religion, and it is a monotheistic faith with about 1.8 billion followers worldwide, originating in Mecca during the life of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of Allah upon him and his progeny. Islam means submission to the will of Allah, and its followers are called Muslims. Muslims believe in one God, Allah, who is the creator of all things and has no partners or equals. The Quran is the holy book of Islam, believed to be the literal word of Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of Allah upon him and his progeny. Muslims adhere to the five pillars of Islam: Shahada, or declaration of faith; Salah, or prayer; Zakat, or charity; Saum, or fasting during Ramadan; and Hajj, or pilgrimage to Mecca. The Islamic year is 11 days shorter than the year used in the Western world. This is because the Western year is based on the orbit of the Earth around the Sun instead of on the faces of the Moon. And we'll listen to continuation of Iran Radio. We start off this hour's programs with Iran Today. The program focuses on advancements in science and technology in the Islamic Republic of Iran and highlights the latest business and economic developments in the country. And our final program this hour is Let's Recite the Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2. Stay with us for the next hour.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Leaving behind Tehran's smog and relentless energy, our journey to South Khorasan felt like crossing into another world. As the city's noise faded, the air grew clearer, the horizon stretched wider, and life slowed into a calm, deliberate rhythm, one shaped by deserts, ancient villages, and quiet mountain oases. Our destination was Birjan, the provincial capital, a city that sprawls across more than 31,000 square kilometers and borders Khorasan Razavi, Sistan and Baluchistan, Kerman, and Yazd. In 1923, even before Tehran, Birjan became the first city in Iran to enjoy piped drinking water. It was also home to Iran's third modern school, Shoukatiye School, established after Darul Funun in Tehran and Rushdie in Tabriz. Because of its political and strategic position, Iran's third airport was built here in 1933. The city also once hosted the consulates of Britain and Russia. We're on a flight headed to Birjan, which is a 1 hour and 40 minute flight from the busy capital in the north to a border province in the east. Stay with us for this journey. But the story of Birjan is not only one of history, it's the story of grace and artistry. In the heart of the city stands Akbariye Garden and Mansion, a timeless green jewel from the Zand and Qajar eras and one of Iran's UNESCO World Heritage Sites. Built on a hillside slope, Akbariye is not merely a garden, it is a living document of Iranian identity. The architects turned the slope into a stage of symmetry and balance. The garden's main axes are perfectly aligned. The mansion crowns the highest point, overseeing all below. In its southern section, a grand reflecting pool glimmers, its waters whispering through the shade of ancient trees. Among pine, pomegranate, and boxwood trees stands the ceremonial mansion, with its mirror hall, dome pavilion, and honeycomb stucco, shining like a palace from legend. Today, part of the complex hosts the Museum of Anthropology, and another part houses the Faculty of Art, University of Birjan. But Birjan is more than Akbariye. High above the city rises Birjan Castle, the historical core of the city, rooted in the Qajar dynasty. In the nearby mountains, Bandare Dam, built in the late Zand and early Qajar eras, still stands, bringing cool air and fresh water to the city below. Band Omar Shah and the Kolafarangi Citadel, with their unique stepped ziggurat-like forms, gleam like a white crown over the city. And near Birjan, numerous waterfalls like Chahardeh flow like miracles of water and greenery in the heart of the desert. Wherever you wander in the city of Birjan, history follows you. From ancient fortresses and citadels to lush gardens and stately mansions, every corner holds a story. Among these timeless treasures stands one of Birjan's true gems, the Shoukatiye School. Mr. Ali Reza Khamezar, president of the Chamber of Commerce, Industries, Mines and Agriculture of South Khorasan Province.
If I were to highlight the province's cultural and educational pedigree, Iran's third modern style school, the Shoukatiye School, originates from South Khorasan. We host multiple universities, and this strong legacy means we offer programs across virtually all academic disciplines. There are over 30,000 students here, including more than 1,000 international students, which has helped cultivate a skilled, educated workforce.
Built in 1894 by Ismail Khan Shoukat al-Muluk I, the masterpiece, now a national heritage site, first served as a Husseiniye, a gathering place for mourning ceremonies during Muharram. Later in 1908, with the vision of Muhammad Ibrahim Khan Shoukat al-Muluk II, it became Birjand's first modern school, inspired by Tehran's Darul Funun and Tabriz's Roshdiye. The Shoukatiye's architecture is a symphony of Persian artistry. A two-story single A1 design adorned with Mokarnas decorated entrances, arched corridors, a serene courtyard, a hozkhane that is a pool chamber, and an awe-inspiring domed hall. But its true showpiece is the Grand Avon, crowned by a sweeping vaulted ceiling that commands attention the moment you enter. Though today it serves solely as a Hosseiniye, the Shoukatiye School remains a living testament to Birjand's rich blend of faith, education, and architectural brilliance, a place where the past still breathes through every brick. Among Birjand's many gardens, Amirabad Garden offers a tranquil refuge beneath towering pines. Besides it, the historic Shoukatiye School stands as a symbol of Iranian enlightenment. In the old bazaar, narrow lanes and brick walls still echo with the footsteps of caravans that once crossed the Silk Road. In Darmian County, the Hindulan Jame Mosque, with its domed chambers and columned halls, showcases the elegance of traditional Islamic architecture. Deep in the mountains lies the Chehelchah Cave, a 1,400-year-old cavern that hides secrets of ancient times. Farther south stands the mysterious village of Mahunik, known as the Land of the Lilliputians. Here, traditions, beliefs, and lifestyles have preserved a unique way of life for centuries. Across the desert plain stretches Rig Himmatabad, a golden sea of dunes, home to the sand cat, gazelle, caracal, and desert birds. Nearby, the Balad-e Qanat of Ferdows, one of Iran's 11 UNESCO-listed qanats, stands as a marvel of ancient engineering, a masterpiece of water civilization in the heart of aridity. And beyond the Lut Desert, Iran's first natural UNESCO World Heritage Site, hosts the world's tallest sand pyramid, rising near Dehsan Nehbandan. Here, travelers find themselves not on Earth, but on another planet, the planet of Lut. The Martian mountains of Nehbandan, painted in surreal hues, and the dark skies of Segal'e offer a paradise for astronomers and night photographers, a place where one can walk beneath the Milky Way. Along the ancient trade routes of eastern Iran, the caravanserais of Sarayan, Deh Muhammad, Chehelpaye, Tabas, and other Safavid structures keep alive the memory of the Silk Road. Mr. Sayyid Muhammad Reza Hashemi, governor of South Khorasan province.
South Khorasan is a tourism treasure in Iran. To date, we have identified 2,600 heritage sites, of which 1,050 are officially registered with the Ministry of Cultural Heritage and Tourism. We have more than 34 designated tourism villages, and we are transferring the operation of historic caravanserais to the private sector. We provide financing across three sectors: industry and mining, agriculture, and cultural heritage and tourism.
In the desert of Tabas, the village of Esfahak was reborn after the devastating earthquake of 1978. With its restored clay houses, historic bathhouse, and ecologists built by its youth, Esfahak today stands as a symbol of resilience and renewal. Culturally, South Khorasan is a cradle of heritage. Over 2,600 historical sites have been identified, more than 1,000 registered nationally, and 10 recognized by UNESCO.
South Khorasan province is a highly attractive destination. In tourism, we have identified more than 2,500 heritage sites. Over 1,000 are registered at the national level and 10 are inscribed on the UNESCO World Heritage List. Among them are the province's registered historic gardens, which are especially appealing. The northern part of the Lut Desert, Dasht-e-Lut, lies within our province and is also nationally registered. We have designated tourism villages, eco-lodges, and a vibrant handicraft sector. Our most recent registered village is Isfahak, whose historic fabric in Tabas County has been listed.
We have a lot more to cover today, but first let's take a moment to catch up on the latest headlines. Welcome to the news section of the program, where we take a look at some news headlines from different news outlets. Tasnim, Seghale Desert in eastern Iran, a hidden gem for desert lovers. The untouched and captivating Seghale Desert in Iran's South Khorasan province has emerged as a new destination for those who seek silence, starry skies, and the raw beauty of nature. The hidden jewel with its golden sands and vast serene landscapes offers a unique blend of tranquility, thrill, and natural wonder. In this photo report, you can take a closer look at the unspoiled charm of the desert expanse, a place where the stillness of the dunes meet the magnificence of Iran's desert ecosystem, making it a must-visit spot for ecotourists and desert explorers alike. Fars. Autumn harvest turns South Khorasan into crimson barberry fields. Every autumn, the barberry farms of South Khorasan in eastern Iran turn into a sea of red as the harvest season begins. With over 17,000 hectares under cultivation and an annual yield of nearly 20,000 tons, South Khorasan produces over 95% of Iran's and a major share of the world's barberries. Visitors flock to the region's villages to witness the vibrant landscapes and experience its deep-rooted farming traditions. Meh News. Iran opens country's largest coal mine rescue base in Tabas. Minister of Industry, Mine and Trade Mohammad Atabak inaugurated the country's largest coal mine rescue and relief center in Tabas on Saturday. The facility, built on a 15,000-square-meter site with 4,200 square meters of indoor space, is designed to respond to mining accidents and improve safety standards across the sector. Officials say the specialized base will play a key role in enhancing occupational safety and mitigating risks in coal mines. Tabas is located in Iran's northeastern province of South Khorasan, which holds about 70% of the country's coal reserves. This brings us to the end of this section. Please stay tuned as we go back to our main narrative. When autumn arrives, South Khorasan glows in the colors of saffron and barberry. A cool breeze drifts from the desert, and this land with its World Heritage sites, pristine nature, and deep-rooted culture becomes one of eastern Iran's most captivating destinations. The handicrafts of Birjan and southern Khorasan reflect the history, culture, and nature of this mountainous land, interwoven with the people's lives for centuries. Here, alongside farming and herding, locals craft textiles and traditional art. Barak weaving, towel weaving, jajim and kalim weaving, felt making, tablecloth weaving, and black tent weaving, all made from natural materials like wool, cotton, and goat hair. Other enduring arts include basketry, wood turning, blacksmithing, coppersmithing, engraving, embroidery, carpet and gabbe weaving, and handmade shoes, each a reflection of nature and culture, a living heritage of South Khorasan's artistic identity.
We also have a strong gemstone sector in South Khorasan, notable for both its variety and beauty. At the Chamber of Commerce, we shifted gemstones from the mining portfolio to the Tourism Commission to link them with tourism and provide stronger support. This value chain employs a wide cross-section of our population, creating jobs and adding income for households.
South Khorasan covers over 9% of Iran's land, making it the third largest province in the country. To the north, it borders Khorasan Razavi. To the south, Kerman and Sistan and Balochistan. To the west, Yazd. And to the east, Afghanistan. A secure, long, and resource-rich border that has made this province a strategic trade corridor, linking Iran with Afghanistan and Central Asia.
On our border with Afghanistan, we have the Mahirud border market, as well as a special economic zone. As a result, over the past year, more than 50 Afghan investors have put capital to work at the border. We have also invited Chinese investors who are now investing in the coal sector. Solar power plants are another major opportunity. The province is highly suitable for solar. To date, permits have been issued for more than 2,350 megawatts. Construction has begun on 850 megawatts, and 75 megawatts is already connected to the national grid. In short, we are open to investment in both mining and solar power.
South Khorasan is the golden getaway connecting northeast Iran and southeast Iran with a vital link between the Persian Gulf and Central Asia. To harness this power, the South Khorasan Special Economic Zone was created, the beating heart of eastern Iran's development.
Approved during the fourth development plan and formally established in 2010, it includes two main sites, one in the provincial center spanning 730 hectares and another at the Mahirud border covering 100 hectares, the only active border special economic zone in Iran. Located at the official MILF 78 crossing, it lies just 120 kilometers from Afghanistan's Farah province, with the first Afghan district only 80 kilometers away. With full infrastructure, modern air and land routes, and streamlined investment laws, this zone is now a prime destination for investors. Permits are issued free of charge within 72 hours. Machinery and raw materials enter duty-free. Taxes and tariffs are eliminated. Labor laws are simplified, just like in free trade zones.
Among the incentives available to investors in this province is a 13-year tax holiday. This is a strong draw for investment. We also streamline procedures. A set of pre-approved unnamed licenses has been introduced, so investors don't get bogged down in bureaucratic paperwork.
With Birjan International Airport, the Mahirud Customs Terminal, and its central position in the Eastern Transit Corridor, the region has become Iran's dry port of the East, a desert harbor for storage, export, and logistics.
One of our priorities as a driver of the provincial economy is to make investor access easier. To that end, we have worked to maintain regular flights both to Birjan and to Tabaz, where we have two airports.
Even wind turbines enter duty-free, turning constant desert winds into clean energy for export to Afghanistan. Here, trade, energy, and transit grow together. Medical and service centers for Afghan citizens have created new opportunities in medical tourism, while international automobile brands can safely serve the Afghan market from within this zone. In the meantime, we visited the province's largest company, which supplies around 25% of the nation's tire demand. In fact, one in every four cars on the road uses its products. This major and highly successful enterprise is recognized as one of the province's leading knowledge-based companies, and its expansion phase is currently underway. There, we sat with the company's CEO, Mr. Sayed Mohammad Hossein Zainali.
Our company specializes exclusively in passenger car tires, covering rim sizes from 13 to 20 inches. Within this range, we can design, manufacture, and supply tires for any model. On this basis, we are now the country's largest producer of passenger tires, accounting for 25% of national output. We are proud that all the know-how and technology for these tires have been developed in-house by the young specialists of this city. We are also able to export our engineering services and have signed several MOUs with regional partners. This expertise is fully localized. We hold contracts with 14 domestic automakers and design the full range of tires required for SUVs.
According to Mr. Zain Ali, the company plays a crucial role in the region's industrial landscape.
Our company accounts for 38% of Birjan's industrial employment and 18% of all employment in South Khorasan province. We have nearly 17,000 direct employees and about 800 former employees, effectively 800 households, have retired. We are pursuing major projects that will bring over $230 million in new investment to the city, and we plan to raise our annual output from roughly 45,000 tons to 100,000 tons, a new record for the complex.
Among the company's remarkable achievements is the development of Iran's first environmentally friendly green tire.
Another milestone I'd like our fellow citizens to know about is that fine particles released from tires aren't good for their lungs. Our company is the first in the country to design an environmentally friendly green tire, and not only is the end product green, the production process is green as well, with minimal consumption of electricity, water, and gas.
Mr. Zain Ali also told us about significant incentives for future investors.
Looking ahead, as I mentioned, we plan to invest more than $233 million here. With support from the Ministry of Industry, Mining and Trade, we have converted the entire complex into an industrial park, the first private rubber-focused industrial park in Iran. This designation carries a 13-year tax exemption, meaning anyone who invests here in the future will receive a 13-year tax holiday.
But South Khorasan isn't just a center of trade, it's also a treasure chest of natural wealth. Of 74 mineral types found in Iran, 52 exist here, from coal and bentonite to gold and world-renowned decorative stones. Within its soil lie 900 million tons of reserves, with over 870 active mines at work.
خراسان جنوبی فرصت‌های بسیار بسیار بالقوه‌ای در حوزه سرمایه‌گذاری دارد.
South Khorasan offers substantial investment potential. It's one of Iran's mineral treasure houses. Of the country's 74 plus mineral types, 52 are found here, and there are currently more than 820 mines. The province is Iran's bentonite capital and the hopper-rich coal deposits in the region. With over 900 million tons of coal, we are actively advancing power generation at the Tabaz coal-fired plant. We currently have 4 operating gold mines and about 11 more identified. Our aim is to curb raw ore sales, create jobs, and drive sustained economic growth.
Indeed, this is a golden land of eastern Iran, where earth and sun are both generous. In agriculture, too, this province leads the way. From its soil rise, 98% of the world's barberry, the finest saffron in Iran, and the second largest jujube reserves on earth. It also ranks among Iran's top producers of cotton, pistachio, narcissus flowers, almonds, and pomegranates.
In agriculture, we focus on 3 strategic crops. We're recognized as the world's earliest cradle of saffron, a tradition inscribed by UNESCO. We supply all of Iran's barberry needs and are also a leading producer of jujube. All 3 are autumn harvests and suit the province's climate well, with saffron known for its uplifting qualities, barberry for its antioxidants, and jujube for its many health benefits.
We're expanding downstream processing to add value and are studying pharmaceutical applications for these products. We also promote agritourism around our saffron, barberry, and jujube fields, especially the photogenic saffron harvests. In poultry and livestock, we operate with roughly an 80% production surplus and supply other provinces. The region is also well-suited to camel husbandry, and we rank second nationwide in herd size.
In energy, the province's endless sunlight and steady winds have turned it into a haven for renewable power. More than 2,300 megawatts of solar plant permits have been issued, with 850 megawatts already under construction. And Iran's second major wind corridor lies right here.
In renewable energy, South Khorasan enjoys more than 300 days of direct sunlight at an optimal angle for solar power. Many suitable sites have been identified, and this sector has become a key draw for both domestic and foreign investors. Companies from South Africa and China have already invested, and part of the province's electricity is now supplied from renewables. We also have a wind corridor along the border where turbines are operating and feeding the grid. Our goal is that once generation exceeds local demand, we can export electricity to Afghanistan.
The National Railway Project, Chabahar to Zahedan, Nehbandan, Birjan, Qa'in, and Gonabad, a 975-kilometer mega project, is rapidly linking eastern Iran to open waters and global markets. The people of this land are hardworking, educated, and noble, with a literacy rate above 87% and one of the lowest unemployment rates in the nation. With faith, unity, and perseverance, they are walking confidently towards a brighter future. Moreover, today over 800 Afghan students study in its universities, and thousands of Afghan residents enjoy equal access to education and health care. With four border markets, two customs posts, one land and one air border, with its special economic zone, rich mines, strategic crops, and academic strength, South Khorasan stands today as a land of investment, innovation, and opportunity. Here in the heart of Iran's east, a golden and peaceful land is awaking to prosperity. South Khorasan, the land of endless opportunities.
According to a formal notice from the Iran Chamber of Commerce, South Khorasan ranks first nationwide for investor satisfaction, reflecting the province's respectful, investor-friendly approach. The Parliamentary Research Center also rates us as the fourth safest province for investment.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Until next time, take care.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
اقرأ.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mahdi. Thank you for having me, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program.
Thank
it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, Brother Muhammad is going to talk about the music or the musical miracle of the Noble Quran. Then, we all are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter of the Noble Quran. And at the end, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation from different aspects. Stay tuned.
إن هذا القرآن الذي جلت
فيه. Well, in the first part of today's program, we're going to continue our previous discussion about how the sounds of letters of the Noble Quran are impressive and can affect its audience. Dear brother, let's continue.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are certain words and the letters that make up certain words. We could actually feel the meaning of that word just by pronouncing them. And sometimes just the pronunciation of a word is difficult. This difficulty is also what exactly that word, the meaning of that word is accompanied by difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
It's, for example, وَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ لَمَنْ لَيُبَطِّئَنَّ. You have to be really careful how you pronounce this word. It's
yes.
Like you slow down because it's so difficult to pronounce this word. And what does لَيُبَطِّئَنَّ means? It means delay. It means making pause
and pronouncing it actually makes you pause.
Yeah, it makes you pause and you can't pronounce it quickly. It's a little difficult if it's the first time that you're pronouncing this word.
And even the second or third.
Yeah, la yubatti'anna. And also the ta has a tashdeed and also a kasra.
Mm-hmm.
That's really difficult. And the noon also has shadda as tashdeed. Or another example is Surah Hud, verse 28.
يَا قَوْمِ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنْتُ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي وَآتَانِي رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ فَعُمِّيَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ.
Again, we have the same thing, the same concept with the word
أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ.
Does that still mean pause?
أَنُلْزِمُكُمُهَا comes from إِلْزَام, which means forcing someone to do something. And كَارِهُون means disliking something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we could feel this dislike and, you know, not liking something just by the word أَنُلْزِمُكُمُهَا. We can picture that disliking because, just again, we have this, the delay of the pause that we have to make, how we have to pronounce this word slowly. It's difficult to do that. It's difficult to pronounce this word, and karihun, kiraha, is actually means not liking something because it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So we have anulzimukumu.
This way it tries to convey the meaning.
Yeah, exactly. It conveys the meaning of kiraha, disliking.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Don't go away. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now in the second part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we invite you to listen to the recitation of Suratul Anbiya, verses 104 to 107, recited by Brother Qasim Razi'i, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. لقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 104 to 107 of Suratul Anbiya, recited by Brother Qasim Razi'i. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One thing I've noticed in almost all of the surahs of the Quran is that the end of the verses have rhyme.
Yes.
Each verse, usually we have this rhyme. For example, we have fa'ilin, abidin, khalidun, tu'adun, salihun. These are all rhymes. In almost all the surahs of the Quran, this is observed. Allah, He has made the last word of the verse rhymes with the other verses, the verses that are after it.
And just 30, I think, it's more obvious.
Yeah, because the verses are very short.
They're short, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But in the longer verses, it's not as obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in terms of tajweed, a lot could be said.
Yes.
In verse 104, we have يَوْمَ نَطَوِ السَّمَاءَ كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ. The ta has sukun. And ta is a letter of qalqala.
Yes.
And we have to apply qalqala. نَطَوِ السَّمَاءَ. We have to make sure that the ta, the sound of it, is heard. Even though it's sakin, there should be a kind of movement, a vowel-like movement when pronouncing the ta. Because if we don't do this movement, if we don't apply the qalqala,
the movement of articulator, you mean?
Yeah, in the mouth. Yeah. If you don't apply the qalqala, the sound of ta won't be heard
completely.
يَوْمَ نَطْوِ السَّمَاءَ. نَطْوِ. We didn't hear the ta clearly with all of its characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why we have to apply qalqala. Just like in the word kutub. كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ.
بِ. The ba.
The ba has qalqala. It's not a vowel, haraka.
Yes.
It's neither fatha, kasra, nor dhamma.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a neutral vowel. Okay? لِلْكُتُبِ. كُتُبِ. You don't say كُتُبَ.
Mm-hmm.
كُتُبِ. كُتُبُ. كُتُبَ. Okay?
And what are the rest of letters of qalqala?
They are in order qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal, which comprise the sentence qutubi jad.
It's a sentence, interesting.
Yeah. It really doesn't make that much sense, but it's a sentence which is used to, we use this sentence to memorize the five letters of qalqala. Kama bada'na, we have hamzatul qatar, and the word bada'na. We have to make sure that the hamza is pronounced like a glottal stop.
Mm-hmm.
There is no qalqala. We don't say bada'na. We say bada'na. And at the end, we do ikhtilas. We quickly pronounce the next letter. We don't make a pause in between the hamzatul qat and the noon. So we shouldn't say bada'na, bada'na, bada'na. It happens quickly. This
yes.
is called ikhtilas. We have it for all, in all places. For example, أول خلقين. خلقين. You have to quickly pronounce the qaf. If you say خلقين with a pause, that's incorrect.
Okay.
وعدن علينا. The عين has a sukun. We have to make sure that it's not pronounced with قلقلة. In fact, the most difficult rule of qalqala is not applying qalqala.
Yes.
Applying qalqala is easier than not applying it for certain letters. For example, ayn. Applying qalqala to ayn is very easy. Wa'adan. Wa'adan alayna.
Yeah, this way we should pronounce it like a shadda or plosive if we are to apply qalqala.
Wa'adan.
Wa'adan.
You don't say wa'adan. We say wa'adan. That's different. If we pronounce it like a letter of shadda, it would be wa'adan. Or if it's a letter of rakhab, it would be wa'adan. But we say, if you say wa'adan, you're just giving qalqala to the ayn. You're not pronouncing it with shadda.
While being fricative,
yeah,
we still can apply qalqala?
Yeah, it's possible, yes.
Can we apply, you mean we can apply qalqala to fricatives?
Yeah, we could, but we shouldn't. This is the point. Yes, we could. For example, Islam. Islam. See, you're giving
Islam
a movement to the scene. Islam. Whenever any letter Islam that is sakin can get qalqala, but most letters should not get qalqala. Only the letters of qalqala. So if you say wa'adan alayna, that's incorrect. If you say arusala, arusala, that's incorrect. Arusala.
Yes, that's right.
And in verse 105, walaqad, again we have the dal with qalqala. Katabna, we have a ba with qalqala. Katabna. And fizzaburi, we have a ra with tarqiq and the word zaburi. And also al-dhikri. Al-dhikri. Again, we have ikhtilas of ra, where we have to quickly pronounce the ra. We shouldn't say min ba'di dhikri, 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 dhikri.
Would you let us know the meaning of ikhtilas?
Ikhtilas means stealing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It means part of the previous letter, sound of the previous letter, goes into the next letter.
Uh-huh.
Okay? This is meaning of ikhtilas. Of course, sometimes too much ikhtilas is incorrect. For example, if you say ta'malun, ta'malun, there's too much ikhtilas. The ayn goes too much into the meme.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't say ta'malun or ta'lamun. Ta'malun. Ta'lamun. You first pronounce the ayn with tawassut and with all of its characteristics, and then at the end, you do the ikhtilas.
You pronounce lam.
Yeah.
To actually.
Or the meme.
To avoid that pause, which might occur.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran. Glad you could join us. I'm your host for the next hour. We'll start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minbar. The program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators, and they will be followed by Round the World with reporters. Reporters from around the globe tell us what is happening in their corner of the world. Listen to fascinating reports from distant land. And we round up this hour's programs with leaders' speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei. Stay with us for the next hour.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Tehran says the anti-Iranian resolution adopted by the Board of Governors of the IAEA deals a blow to the independence and credit of the UN nuclear watchdog. Two Palestinians have been killed during a raid by Israeli forces on a town near the occupied Al-Quds. And Caracas says the US is trying to make Venezuela its 51st state, pledging that the Latin American country will remain free.
Live from Tehran, I am Bahman Nurai, and this is news.
Tehran says the anti-Iranian resolution adopted by the Board of Governors of the UN Nuclear Agency is a clear misuse of an international institution and deals a blow to IAEA.